Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm the pastor here at Coastline Church. If you're visiting our church today, I want to say a very special welcome. And I'm sorry that I'm not here today to greet you personally. My wife and I are away this weekend just being recharged and refreshed. And I look forward to being back in the next couple weeks. But today, we have a very special couple. They were with us all weekend for our parenthood conference. And last year when they were here, shared some of the most powerful biblical tools and principles on how to raise children in the world today. And I'm excited to hear what they have to share with our church today. So would you welcome with me Dr. Don and Renee Wuchester. Okay.
Wow. Thank you for letting us be here. We're from Phoenix. Yes. So the bad news for Aaron is that we're staying. And I love his office, and I think it's fun. No. Hey, we are so, we've had such a great time. We got to do some sharing yesterday, and the church staff that is here is crazy good.
Yeah.
We pulled up, and they had a little coned off area so we could park very close, and then escorted us into this green room with smart waters. Wanted to know, chilled or not chilled? Cough drops. I'm fighting a little bit of a cough, and health bars and coffee and tea. And I just go, wow, I feel like we're rock stars. This is amazing. So we joined the church yesterday. And we're going to have to figure out the whole commute thing. So, and we might need to stay with some of you when we come. But doggone it, we're members. And I feel good about that. So we really have felt welcomed and blessed. And what a treat it is to get to be with you guys. And that introduction, that was very nice to have a little audio introduction. I said yesterday that Renee started a ministry to kids with disabilities about 10 years ago in Arizona. And it's an amazing ministry. All kinds of really great things have happened. But early on, they had a group of the kids and they were meeting. And one of these little boys, Clay, got a little bit of a crush on Renee, which, come on, I get it, right? And so it came time at the end of the meeting that Renee had to go. And so she told all the kids, she goes, hey, I need to go now. And Clayton was a little disappointed that she was leaving. And he goes, why do you have to go? And she goes, well, I have to go home to my husband. And he goes, who's your husband? And Renee goes, well, his name's Don Wooster. And he goes, never heard of him.
Now, Clay is the same kid that developed a crush on many girls, you have to know. So when we would circle up and do a prayer time, Clay would always make it known what was on his heart, right? That's the beauty of being around the special needs population. You don't have to guess. You know, because they're just going to tell you. So we would circle up to pray, and Clay would grab hands, and Clay would bow his head, and he'd say, dear God, I pray that Amy would really like me and that she would find me attractive and want me to be her boyfriend. Amen.
Hey, truth be told, we've all prayed that prayer, guys. Not out loud, but we've all prayed it. He just prayed out loud. So
It's the beauty of being around people who are real and authentic, right? It draws you in. It's endearing when someone says, this is what's really going on with me. The lie is that if we tell the truth about what's really going on in our heart, that people will reject us. But the truth is, when we tell the truth about what's going on in our hearts, it draws us in. So we have four kids, and that kids' ages are 10, 14, 15, and 22. So right now, we have a sampler plate because we have kids in elementary school, junior high school, and college. Yeah, we say that too. So
she has a lot of kids.
Sometimes when Donald put the kids in the car and say goodbye, he goes, wow, you've got a lot of kids. There are kids. And so there's lots of driving and car time. And a couple of years ago, some of the best conversation that we hear among them and with us can happen in the car. So a couple of years ago, Jacob was in sixth grade at that point, and Emma was in fourth grade. And we were having a conversation. The question you always ask a boy when he comes home from school is, what'd you do at recess, right? Because that's his favorite time of the day, so I can always have conversation about that. So I said, so how'd it go today at recess? And he goes, well, I had to stay in. So immediately the mom part of me goes, oh, what? He got in trouble, right? So I go, oh, so what happened with that, Jacob? He goes, well, the librarian, Miss Judy, asked me to stay in and help Gabby with her homework because she'd been sick for 2 weeks. And he went from like down in the pit to a rock star, right? I went, wow, that's amazing, Jacob. And he goes, well, he goes, it's okay. He goes, she wouldn't concentrate. I was like, we got to get this work done so I can get out and play football. And I said, so why wouldn't she concentrate? And he goes, well, she was busy telling me that she had a hot Italian boyfriend. And I go, wow, that's so interesting. I go, what'd you say to that? And he goes, well, I said, do you have a picture? Because if you really have a hot Italian boyfriend, you'd have a picture of him. And she didn't have a picture. And I go, huh? And I go, well, what'd she say to you? And he goes, well, she said, are you jealous? I go, and Emma goes, oh, right, the girl. And Jacob goes, yeah, I said no. Huh, I'm not jealous. And I go, really, you said no to that? She goes, yeah, I don't want a hot Italian boyfriend.
Yeah, and that's probably good.
We're just, you know, they're figuring it out. We're figuring out, right? Even as we're parenting, we're realizing that we're being parented, right? There's only one perfect parent. That's God the Father, right? Yeah. He just works with us imperfect parents, right? So God gives us this stewardship idea. And as we introduce this idea this morning, we are just going to ask this question of, will you let God parent you? Will you let God parent you? So I'm going to pray for that. Lord, we ask this morning that you would open our hearts to the word of God, that you put a seed inside of us, that we would know and trust you, that we would see you, that you would help us to see ourselves, Lord, as you see us. In Jesus' name, amen. This whole idea of parenting, I think, has become kind of a negative verb. And as we introduce this whole idea, we're going to look at a quick video. And believe it or not, it's a gum commercial. But it says a message in a minute that's pretty cool. So take a look with this.
Sometimes the little things last the longest. Give extra, get extra.
Did it get you? Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing to think about this whole idea of parenting and that really it's the deposits along the way, right? We get to deposit in our children, but really the truth is God's depositing these little deposits along the way, right? Keeping track of all the little pieces, right? But he's making these deposits in us. So this morning we're going to talk about this whole idea of, will you let God parent you?
Yeah, and the first thing we thought we'd just put out there is that, you know, as a parent, as a father, one of the things that you really get to do is the privilege of getting to name your child. That's part of the joy. That's part of the responsibility. That's part of the role you play of getting to name your child. Our Abigail Grace was our last child. We thought we were all done having kids. I called my buddy and I said, I bought my last box of diapers. She's 3.5 years younger. We thought three was a good number, and God surprised us with Abigail Grace. And when we picked her name, Abigail means she makes her father glad. Mm-hmm. And if you ask Abigail what her name means, she'll tell you, it makes my father glad. And she is just a source of great joy. But we named her because of that. And as we think about letting God be our father, we want to think just for a minute about this idea of letting God name you. Mm-hmm. That he knows your name. Mm-hmm. He knows your real identity. Yeah. So somebody with skin on gave you a name, and then as you've grown up, you've gotten other names and identifications. But God is really the one, if we're going to let him be a father, a parent to us, that he names us. Mm-hmm. And the name he gives us is true and right. Yeah. And so there's a little passage in Judges with Gideon, and it's an interesting thing about Gideon, because Gideon and the tribe of Israel are really scattered at this point, and their circumstances have not been good. There's no one leading them. They're down and out. They're just in a survival mode. And Gideon, as we find him at this juncture, the bad guys in the land have come through and raided and taken, and so he's hiding in the bottom of a little pit, and he's throwing up some grain, and he's just trying to eke out a meal for a living. So it's pretty dark days, and Gideon hasn't felt very significant. And the angel of God appears to Gideon in Judges, and he has this greeting for him in chapter 6, verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Mm-hmm. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Now, that greeting might make sense to someone like Mel Gibson in Braveheart, right? At the front of the battle, drawn sword, victory, pressing in. But here's a guy who's broken down. Here's a guy who's hiding. Here's a guy who has not seen great power or deliverance. And certainly by any definition that we would use, would not be a mighty warrior. He's hiding in the bottom of the pit. And if you read on in this section of scripture, you'll find that as he talks to the Lord to go, look, I'm from the smallest family, the smallest clan, and within that clan, we're the smallest family. And within the family, I'm the smallest. I'm the least of the least of the least. Why are you calling me a mighty warrior? Because God names us, and his name is true.
That's right.
That's why. And God's always right. When I was in high school, I was super busy in high school with everything but classes. excuse me. It's the one thing I did not attend. And it turns out that's fairly significant, GPA and the rest of that. And so I didn't really find my own faith till pretty late in my high school career. And by then, my GPA and everything else was pretty trash. So my parents, the guidance counselor, everyone was pretty convinced that I would be a good hourly worker somewhere. And so that was the recommendation. My older siblings were going to college and university, but they're going, well, we don't really see you as college material. So that was my plan. And I was at my best friend's house one summer, and it was after we graduated. I remember, and he said, so what's your plans for now after high school? And I said, well, I'm just going to get a job. I'm not really college material. I remember he stood up. He was sitting on the couch. He stood up, and he walked over to me, and he sat down in front of me, and he goes, I totally disagree. And I go, you know, Mr. Farrell, you haven't seen my GPA. I kind of screwed things up. And he just goes, you know what? He goes, you are bright and capable. I want you to apply to Arizona State. And I go, oh, I would never get in. He goes, I'm bringing home an application. So he brought home an application. He filled it out with me. And I was just like going, this is no. And then he pulled out his letter of recommendation for me. And he worked at the university. And he had written... He wrote things about me that I read and I go, you don't want to sign this. He goes, oh yeah, I do. He goes, I go, this is not who I am. And he goes, yeah, it is. You just don't see it yet.
Yeah, that's right.
He goes, I see it. I'm signing it. He signed it. He sent it in against my recommendation. And I said, okay. And my parents and the guidance counselor, everybody I knew was shocked when I got accepted. And I think he probably pulled some strings. I think he must have. And more shocked that I finished my first semester and I was still in school and I had a 4.0. And then I finished that year with a 4.0. And then I finished my undergraduate with a 4.0 and my master's and my doctoral degree. And But he named me. He saw something. Yeah. Right? That I hadn't seen and other people hadn't seen. God sees things in you.
That's right.
And if no one else has seen him, God sees him.
Yeah.
He knows your name. And when God says you're a mighty warrior, he's right.
Yeah.
When God says there's power and grace and courage and purpose in your life, he's right. And if you haven't found it or no one else has noticed it, it's still there because God is our Father and he gets to name us. Mm-hmm. Right? You need to let him name us.
Yeah.
Right?
Amazing part about that for me is as his wife to know that somebody made this deposit and declared dawn, right? They saw him before he saw himself, right? And we have that opportunity when we come in line with what God sees inside of us to actually have the power to do that in others' lives as well, right? When we know that to be true inside of us, then we go, actually, now I see others differently as well. Right? Because God can call those things out in us. And then the blessing of that is then being able to pass that on to others. Because there's going to be people that we parent in our life that are our own kids. But there's people who come along that we get to parent as well.
Yeah.
Just like Mr. Farrell did that for Dawn. So will you let God name you?
Yeah.
Call you your real name. The second question we have for you is, will you let God bless you? Abigail, a few years ago went to this big church event with her friend that wasn't at our church. And if you brought a friend, you got a ticket and your friend got a ticket too. And there were over 300 kids there and they had a table with all the prizes in the front, from the little prizes all the way up to the big prizes. And when I went to pick up Abigail after she'd been at the event, she came out kind of tentatively but gleaming as well. And I said, well, how did it go? And she goes, well, Mom, it was great. And I go, well, tell me about it. She goes, well, I went in and I got one ticket and some kids had 10 tickets. And I sat down and I saw all the prizes. And the biggest prize was the Nintendo DS system with all the things that go with it. And she goes, I said a little prayer. And I said to God, if you want, I'd love to have that. And she goes, and they called off my number out of all the kids. And I go, wow, that's amazing. I go, what about that? And she goes, I feel like I kind of cheated. But I think if we know that God the Father, we have confidence that we enter the throne room, it is a little bit like cheating, right? We have access to the great I am. Mm-hmm. We can go in confidently into the throne room and say, if you want God, I'd really love it, right? Because
yeah.
He loves the faith of a child. He loves when we believe that we can come into the throne room and ask him for the thing, right?
Yeah.
So we enter in with confidence because he calls us his children. He said, I'd love to answer that prayer for you. Will you let God bless you?
Yeah, I think that was kind of my favorite moment when it felt like a confession when Abigail, when she told me the story, and she goes, did I cheat? Right? Because there was just a sense of going, wow, that we can receive that.
Yeah.
And that we can let God be generous.
Yeah.
And we can let him bless us. And that's a really good part of what we're doing. The third thing that we talked about.
Will you let him give you rest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest is an interesting thing, particularly we met over the weekend. We talked with parents. And so if you're parenting, there's a lot of energy that's going out. There's a lot of demand when they're little people and then they're middle-sized people and they get to be bigger people and there's still a lot of demand. So there's a lot going out. But I would tell you that one of my favorite experiences as a dad is when our kids were little and we had three car seats in the back seat when they were all kind of at that age. And we'd be at a friend's house. We'd go over for a barbecue or a party or swimming or something like that. And we would have a great time. And there's a certain sort of dynamic when you're with kids that they're having a great time and they're starting to get tired, but they're still excited. And they probably had too much sugar. But they're getting tired and you're seeing the bedtime coming. And so we kind of realized that for our drive home, because Phoenix is kind of spread out, we oftentimes drive half an hour to go from one place to another. We put jammies on our kids before we left, And they're starting to get kind of whiny and fussy and all that kind of stuff. So we put the cute little jammies on them, get them their little blankies, get them their little, you know, stuffed animals and stuff, get them strapped in their car seats. And then we'd start driving. And there'd be some fussing and some whining at first because they were tired and we're driving and all that. And then I'd look in the rearview mirror and I'd just kind of start to see their heads, you know, kind of start to drop. And at some point, as Renee and I were getting home, you know, it would get real quiet in the back seat. I could look in the rearview mirror and I just see these three little people slumped with their, you know, jammies and blankies and the rest of that kind of stuff. And boy, my favorite moment was when we got home and they're all slouched, right? Totally asleep. And one by one, go and get their beds ready. And then when you pick them up and they're kind of asleep, but they just do that kind of sloth, wrap their arms around you, right? There's autopilot response. And man, as a father, to know that my kids would just surrender into that. Yeah. That they would let me carry them. Mm-hmm. They would just stay in this place of surrendered, like, you got me. Yeah. And you're going to take me someplace. And I'm going to let you take me someplace. And being able to one by one kind of carry them out would be these three little trips that we would go. Bringing them to their beds and putting them down and they're half groggy and asleep and kissing them and doing the rest of that. And I got to tell you, I think that the Lord, yeah, as he fathers us, yeah, and when we're tired and when we're grouchy and when we're at the end, if we'll let him put our little jammies on and get our little binkies out and get us to settle down and on the journey to just sort of said, go ahead. Renee used to say to the kids, go ahead, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes, right? Sleep is surrender. Yeah. Rest is surrender.
Yeah.
You quit your striving.
Yeah.
You quit your working. You quit your efforts.
Yeah.
And you say, you know, God, you take it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to,
yeah,
I'm going to just let you carry me to the next place. And I think it gives him great joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think letting ourselves,
yeah,
experience that, letting ourselves kind of receive that.
Yeah.
I think one of the hard things about us letting the Lord carry us is this idea of we find resistance in us that won't let the Lord just pick us up. Because we want this control. We'll have an anxious way. We'll go, but are you going to take care of it, Lord? And he goes, let me scoop you up. Let me carry you home, right? The Lord's asking that question. It's interesting that Christ always asks questions when he encounters people.
Yeah.
It's always an invitation with the Lord when he comes to us. He said, will you let me give you rest?
In the Hebrew functioning of day, the new day always starts as the sun is going down. So if you're a good first century Jewish person, the beginning of the day starts when it gets dark. And the very first thing that a good, faithful follower does is they go to bed. That's the beginning of the day. It begins at sunset. And you sleep all night, and God runs the universe. Isn't that a good job? Hey, it's a new day. I'm going to bed. You go to bed. God runs the universe all night without you. And when you wake up in the morning, half the day's already done. You wake up and join God.
Yeah.
Right? We tend to think in the West that the day begins when we wake up. That's a lot of burden on us. Wow, the day doesn't start till we wake up. But their orientation would be like, no, the very first thing we do is, as a new day begins, is rest. And God runs it. We're just going to join him halfway through and finish it out. And I think that's the kind of rest that God would want us, the kind of rhythm he'd want us to have.
Yeah. So our last thought about the parenting, about God, letting God parent us is, will you let him love you? Will you let him love you? So the verse that really captures what God has done for us is 1 John 4:10. This is love. Why don't we read it? Let's read it together. Okay. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now close your eyes and listen. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Love that whole idea that God is the one who's initiating this love, right? God is the one who's inviting us to be loved.
Yeah.
He's the one who's wrapping his arms around us.
Yeah.
It was a few years ago, and I would say a compliment to Emma. This is right before she was coming into junior high, and I would say, "Wow, you look beautiful today." And she would go, or I'd say to Abigail, "Wow, I love that shirt on you. It's super cute." And she'd go. And then I realized, wow, they're not able to receive the thing that I'm giving to them right now, right? So I said to our girls, because it's prevalent more in that area, but really the truth is we all can have this posture, that someone's pouring out on us and we're not able to receive. So I said, "I'm going to say, you look beautiful today, and I'd like you to say, I receive that." So let's practice that. I'd say that to Emma, and I'd go, "Emma, you look beautiful today." And then she would go, "I receive that, Mommy." I go, "Awesome. So good." But isn't it the truth that the Lord can do the same thing with us? He's pouring out, right, into our cup. He's pouring out into us.
Yeah.
And he says, "Will you receive that?" And the posture is different when we say, "I receive that, Lord."
Yeah.
I receive your love. I receive your mercy. I receive your goodness. I receive your naming.
Yeah.
I believe your truth.
Yeah.
I believe what you say about me today and my future and our kids and our relationships.
Yeah.
I believe what you say about our finances, right? I receive the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
Will you let him love you today?
Yeah.
Will you take on a posture of saying, "I receive that"?
Yeah.
So we're just going to close by, I'm going to ask you a few questions. If you wouldn't, if you'd be willing to close your eyes. And let's just consider the places to receive. So let's first just ask the Lord, what is his name for you? Ask him with your own heart. What has he named you? Wherever you are found, whether you're in the pit or you're on top of the mountain, what has he named you? Will you let him bless you? Will you take your one ticket and say, "Lord, if you want, I'd love for this." Will you let him bless you? Will you surrender to him and rest? Will you fall into his arms and believe that he's the good father? No more lies about his fatherhood towards us. We believe the truth that he's a good and loving father. Will you let him love you, speak over you? Is there any places you resist his love?
If any of you here today maybe have come to this place and realized that I don't even have a relationship with God, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what it even means to have him as my father and trust him with that. If God was putting something on your heart this morning to just surrender and open your life up to him and your heart to him for the first time and to say yes to God, put him first, I want to give you that opportunity to do so. If everybody will just bow your head and close your eyes again real quick, I want to give that opportunity for those people who need to say yes to Jesus for the first time. And it's simple. He hears our thoughts. He hears our hearts and knows what is going on. So in the quietness of your heart, you can just say the prayer. I'm going to lead us through that prayer together. And God, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness through your son, Jesus Christ, that you made a way when there wasn't one, that you provided the opportunity for us to be rescued and brought back to you, to know you. Despite our sin, God, despite the things that we have rebelled against you with and severed that relationship and that tie, God, we now have that that connection back to you through Jesus, through your Son. And I thank you for forgiving me, God. I thank you for bringing me back, for giving me of that sin, for rescuing me. Be in my life. Walk with me. Help me to trust you. And I give you my life. I put you number one. I put you first. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made that decision, on your connection card as you leave, there is a portion right here that says, my decision today is I'm committing my life to Christ. If you want to mark that and put it in the box as you leave, we would be happy and honored to walk you through this journey of what it means to follow Christ. This isn't a one-time decision that you make and then it's just life goes on. It is a journey, and we want to help you through that journey. So feel free to mark that. The second thing is we have these little booklets outside that say, now what? The question everybody asks when they make this decision is, what is next? So what do I do now with this faith? What do I do now with the hope that I have in Jesus? This little booklet can answer some of those questions and begin to help you on that journey of following Christ. If you don't have a Bible, as I said in the beginning of the service, we are passionate about the Word of God, and we do read it together. So feel free to take a Bible out at the welcome table as you leave as our gift to you, as you jump into the journey of following Christ and spending time with God in His Word. Will you stand with me as we close? God, we love you. We worship you. We thank you that you are a perfect Father. That when we don't have a way, God, when we don't have hope, we can turn and lift our eyes to you and rest in the mercy and the grace and the love that you have for us. Thank you for Don. Thank you for Renee, God, for the words and the passion that you put in their heart to see people thrive in their families, in their marriages, as they raise children. May we be a church, God, that thrives in our families, that sees restoration, that sees wholeness, God, that sees brokenness being healed. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. Have a great day.